In every generation, they stand. In every generation, they serve. In every generation, they sacrifice. For 2.5 centuries, on land, sea, and in the air, they fought and died for an idea bigger than themselves. They are the Americans of every race and faith, who swear a sacred oath of honor and live it to the last. And when that moment comes, they lay down their lives for the country they love, protecting their comrades, their families, and their nation. They are the bold angels now, examples to us all. On this day, let us honor their sacrifice and call upon ourselves to walk in their footsteps boldly, for they have led the way to the America we must be.
All right, we want to just say thank you to all of those that have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And here on Memorial Day weekend, I know a lot of you along with me, you know, people who laid their lives down for our freedom. And it's just Memorial Day is a reminder that freedom isn't free, that people are paying a high price for us. And of course, now more than ever, we should be valuing our freedom. And so especially those that have paid the ultimate price. And of course, some of you are experiencing Memorial Day weekend for the first time without a loved one. And so we just join with you our hearts in remembering those that have gone before us. So if you have a Bible, I want you to take it and go to the book of Psalms. We're going to look from the book of Psalms here today, and you can download the message notes electronically. Our online host will give you the details on how to do that. But while you're preparing for that, let me give a shout out to all of our small group leaders, all of our group leaders. Normally, our group semester ends the 1st of May, but because of the quarantine, we ask all of those group leaders to stick with it, all those groups through the end of May. And so you did that. So shout out to all of the group leaders. If you're a group leader, you're the hero. God bless you. Thank you so much for sticking with us and helping take care of God's people, making all those phone calls, praying all those prayers. You're amazing. Take the month of June off. All right. And so we're going to pick them back up in July. Okay. So it's Memorial Day weekend in Indianapolis. And we all know what that means, the Indy 500. So for those of you that would have been at the track, welcome to church. All right, we're glad that you are here today. And of course, Memorial Day weekend for a lot of high schools is high school graduation. And of course, that's not happening like normal. And you know, Memorial Day weekend for me, I'm a Pacers fan. Some of my greatest memories are the Pacers. Memorial Day weekend in the conference finals, watching Michael George's documentary reminded me of Game 6, right? Boom! Never mind, but anyway. And of course, we all had visions that the Pacers were going to beat the Celtics and make it to the conference finals this year. I mean, in my head, that's how it was all going to work out. And for the last 8 years, my boys have played high school baseball. Memorial Day weekend is sectional baseball finals, but once again, just like everything else in 2020, nothing is normal. Just like everything else, every other challenge in life, we can complain about it and we can focus on the negative, or we could look on the bright side. We could say, okay, God, what are you teaching me through this? How am I going to get better through all of this? Last week, I asked on social media, what's God teaching you through this quarantine, through the pandemic, through all of these things that are happening? What are you learning through this? I had a great response, and I love some of these responses. They're very good. Our friend Donald Sanders said that even he learned that even bald men can eventually end up with quarantine hair. And then Chris Crabtree, he says, I have learned that Levi's mysteriously shrink during quarantine. Anybody else find that? By the way, it's not just Levi's. It's pretty much all brands of clothes. They are shrinking. They were made to shrink. All right. Joe Bridger is a kids pastor in Michigan, is a friend of mine. He said, I've learned that my children missed me, and they seem really happy for the time they're getting with their dad. Melanie Covey was part of Tracy and I's youth ministry in Logansport, and she's an adult now, obviously. But she says, I've learned that the busyness I often thought was necessary truly isn't. A life always on the go is not how God intended me to live. I also learned how desperately my body, mind, and spirit needed to rest. Tony Bowles is from our church and says, I can't say I've learned this, but I've certainly been reminded of the value of family time. Our schedules are normally so hectic. In the last 2 months, we've had family dinners, game nights, movie nights, jumped on the trampoline together, dusted off the bat and ball, and had lengthy conversations. Praying this without the death and illness is the new normal. And then Bill Hardwick, who moved to Tennessee, but he was part of our church for many years. He says, I call this the great pause. I think we all needed a way to stop, slow down, and realize what's really important in life, what our purpose is. I believe we can learn something in every situation, and I think God took this opportunity to let us rest and reflect. Now, I like this post because of what he says, the great pause. Because there's a word for that in the Bible, and it's the title of today's message. It's called Selah. And I ask our youth pastor from Alabama how you pronounce Selah in Alabama. He goes, Selah. All right, so however you pronounce it, the word Selah, it literally means to pause and think about that. To pause and reflect. Now, you say, you know what, I've heard that word Selah before. Well, actually, it's that word in the book of Psalms is there 74 times. You know, you'll be reading along in the book of Psalms, and then there's that word Selah. What does that mean? Well, let's look at what the scripture says. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 4, I'm going to give you a few examples. The psalmist said, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. Pause. Reflect on the fact that the Lord God Almighty actually answers you when you pray. Amen, everybody? That's amazing when I pause and think about those prayers that I just prayed a few minutes ago. The God of heaven answers. And then Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, he says, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Pause and think about not sinning. Think about in your heart what that means to tremble. And then Psalm 46, the verse is probably more familiar to a lot of us, but the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Be still and know that I am God. Selah. Pause and think about the fact that the God of heaven is your refuge. He's your protector. He's your strength. And because of that, you don't have to be afraid. I'm preaching already to somebody that is struggling with fear, and God wants you to just pause and think about the God of heaven is your refuge and your strength. Therefore, we will not fear. I'm about to get happy here today when I pause and think about the goodness of God. See, I think we all might be having a Selah right now. A few weeks ago, I was reading an article that was titled, The Coronavirus Lockdown Has Effectively Stopped the Earth from Shaking. Listen closely, I'm going to read the article. It says, the coronavirus pandemic has left most of the world's major cities, including Indianapolis, mostly empty. It's also having one surprising effect on the planet as well. The Earth has essentially stopped vibrating. Seismologists are saying that with traffic effectively ground to a halt, seismologists around the globe have reported a drop in seismic noise, according to an article in the scientific journal called Nature. They're saying ground movements, mainly due to human activity, like cars and trains and industry, are much lower since the implementation of stay-at-home measures by the government. Researchers say the drop in activity is usually only seen at this magnitude around Christmas. The Royal Observatory made sure to note that the Earth is still shaking, just at a significantly smaller measure. I think the entire world has been given a chance to pause and to reflect and to think. I think another definition of Selah is to stop and listen. And I think if we look to God and we look to God's word, we'll recognize that Selah is actually God's idea. Pausing and reflecting is, because it's God's idea, it's good for us because he loves us. Let me show you why we all need to Selah, to take time and pause and think about it. Watch this. First of all, Selah is necessary for physical health. Selah is necessary for physical health. Have you discovered that if you don't take time off, eventually your body will make you take time off? More than once I've visited people in a hospital, and at least one of the solutions that the doctor gives to them for their malady was to slow down and get some rest. And that their body decided it was time for them to rest. During the French Revolution, hundreds of years ago, they actually outlawed Sunday as a day of rest. And they wanted people to work even more than they were. But a few years later, they had to reinstate Sunday as a day of rest because the health of the nation had totally collapsed. You see, God designed these physical bodies to need rest. Did you know that people now sleep 2.5 hours fewer each night than people did 100 years ago? You're sleeping less than your grandparents did. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that our best requires rest. You and I are physically made to need rest. And the truth is, our bodies need downtime in order to heal and be restored. All right, it's Indy 500 weekend, right? So even race cars can't go 200 miles an hour all the time. Sometimes they got to take a pit stop. And even before they get to the pit stop, there's a speed limit in the lane, in the pits. They have to slow down and eventually have to stop. Why? So they can get gas, they can make adjustments on the car, and when there's damage, to get repairs. Because you can't fix anything going 200 miles an hour. You got to slow down and stop. So why do we try to be repaired while we're still racing through life? Now, let's be honest, we are a piled-on, stretched-to-the-limit, highly caffeinated society. And what happens is we start to feel like Job in Job 3:26, where Job says, I have no peace, I have no quiet, I have no rest, and the trouble keeps coming. Does that sound like us? I have no peace, I have no quiet, I have no rest, and trouble just keeps coming. That is not God's plan. That is not what God wants for us. God's plan is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord, those who Selah, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, God's plan is for us to rest. It helps us physically. So God says the answer to stress and fatigue and to weariness is Selah. The Proverbs put it this way, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Isn't it ironic that one of the benefits of the quarantine, the stay-at-home orders, the lessening of life, is that we're actually going to live longer. I think that's amazing. Here's the second reason we need to Selah is because Selah is necessary for our emotional health. We need Selah for our minds as well. We need to pause and not just rest, but Selah means to think about stuff, to reflect on things. One psychiatrist put it this way in Perspectives on Psychological Science. She said that mindful reflection is essential to our ability to make meaning of the world around us. Inward attention is an important contributor to the development of moral thinking and reasoning and is linked with overall socio-emotional well-being. Okay, Pastor, interpret that for us. What that means, what she's saying is that our minds are wired to need reflection. That we need to pause and to think in order for us to make sense of the world around us. And in order for us to have moral thinking. What they're saying is that if you don't have time to think about what's going on and what's happening in your life, you won't have the ability to choose right and wrong. You know? Anybody remember being a child, being put in time out? Think about what you just did. You don't even know. Your parents were teaching you to Selah. The reality is we make poor decisions when we're moving too quickly. Several years ago, my family was on vacation in Colorado, and we were staying with a family that lived, I'm not sure if it's classified as a hill. I think it was a mountain because it was big, and they had this steep road to get to their house. And so it was a winding road up this hill, and every time we would go up the hill, to drive up the hill, there would always be bicyclists passing us coming down. A few days into the trip, we're coming down the hill, this mountain, and there's a bicyclist. We came upon a scene where a bicyclist had wiped out. There were emergency vehicles there and people tending to the person. I don't know how serious he was hurt or even if it was a he or she, I don't know. But I was surmising that they were probably going too fast to negotiate the curve. Now, why do I tell you that? Because Proverbs says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. Can I talk to the new drivers who are teenagers and the young adults who are driving too fast through life in your car? I tell my boys all the time when we were teaching them how to drive that driving is easy when you go the speed limit. But it's really hard when you're speeding. And the reason is because slight corrections going at a fast speed can make for some serious consequences. You'll miss an exit. Your actions have much more consequences when that happens. And I think that applies to some of us watching here today, is that your life is going so fast that you're in danger, and you may even be putting others in danger physically or financially or relationally, even emotionally and perhaps spiritually, because you're just going so fast. I heard somebody put it this way. Muddy water becomes clear if you let it be still for a while. Selah. Pause and think about that. Even muddy water becomes clear if you let it be still for a while. See, it sounds like Selah can keep us from a lot of trouble. Let me give you one more. Selah doesn't just help us physically, it doesn't just help us emotionally, but Selah is necessary for our spiritual health because it's God's idea. If we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we're in the middle of the Ten Commandments, and God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That word holy means separate. Keep it separated. Don't make it like every other day. 6 days you will labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do any work that's left over. No, the Bible says, do no work. And then in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, which means he made it holy. You see, God says rest and reflection and stopping and listening and thinking about life and focusing on the Lord as a human being is so important. He put it in the Big Ten. The Ten Commandments, right up there with don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery. And he says every 7 days you got to take a day off. And that's how important God considers rest is. Listen, it's so important he modeled it for us himself. Now, I know a lot of us would say, you know what, I'd never murder anybody. I'd never steal from anybody. I'd never commit adultery. But we violate the fourth commandment all the time, don't we? But God says it's just as important to Selah. 6 days you work, every week you take one day off to Selah. Pause. Think about it. Now remember, did God give us these commandments to hurt us? Or did he give us these commandments to help us? He loves us. So when God says you need to rest, he's not trying to control your life. He's not trying to tell you what to do. He loves you. His plans for you to give you a hope and a future. He's saying, this is how life works. This is how I wired you. And we've already seen the proof that Selah helps us physically and emotionally and spiritually. But see, part of the Sabbath commandment, it's not just to rest, but it's to take that day of rest and to focus on the Lord. The brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. Then he added, but when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. Selah is a gift that God gives to us to remind us of who he is, that he's actually working, that he loves us, that God's in control. Amen, everybody? I think one form of Selah is meditation, and this is all through the Bible. Selah is all through the Bible, but I think it's right here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, a familiar verse. It says, blessed is the man. Anybody want to be blessed? Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he, Selah, meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. You'll be fruitful. Your life will be fruitful. Your spiritual life will be fruitful. And their leaf will not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. I want to prosper. Do you want to prosper? I want my physical self to prosper. I want my emotional mind to prosper. I want my spiritual life to prosper. I think we all would agree. We want to prosper. Well, if we're going to prosper, we've got a Selah. Now, the problem with that is that you and I live in the 21st century. We live in the days that Daniel described in the Old Testament, where people are just running to and fro, go, 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 go. And our lives are filled with all this noise, the noise of technology. We're always getting email notifications on our phone, this ping and this ring, and getting a text on your phone, a notification, and then there's email and TV on your phone and 24/7 news cycle, and even at the gas station, there's screens with commercials and noise and sports and talk radio and news radio and on and on and on. Is it any wonder why we have trouble hearing the voice of God? God says, be still, Selah. Could it be that right now, God's trying to get your attention? Could it be, watch this, it's just like the psalmist who said in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Pastor Ed was sharing with me when I was going through the message with our staff earlier. He said, you know, sometimes the shepherd has to make you lie down. Think about that. Because we all have this, we have this response. Our brains, when things happen, when crisis happens, we have this fight or flight thing that happens in our brains, and it wants us just go, go, go. And God says, I don't want you to go. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Wow. What's God saying to you in this season? What's God speaking to you about your life, about your soul, about your relationships, about your future? He is speaking, I guarantee it. The question is, are you listening? And I think if there's one takeaway from this message today for everybody, as we have been in 10, 11, 12 weeks of quarantine and stay at home, and as things begin to open up and move out, I think this is what the message really is. Don't be in a hurry to return to your hurried lifestyle. Can I say that again? Don't be in a hurry to return to your hurried lifestyle. Your life can be better. Your relationships can be better. Your walk with God can be better. If we will say, I'm gonna Selah. All right, Pastor, you've convinced me. All right, I need to Selah. It's good for me. I need to do it. How do I Selah? I'm glad you asked. Here's the so what part of the message. How do I Selah? Well, one of the best ways to Selah is every day to have a quiet time. Now, by quiet time, I'm talking about a designated time every day where you're going to read the Word of God, you're going to pray, you're going to focus on the Lord. Now, for me, this is what my quiet time looks like. I wake up in the morning, and the very first thing that I do is go make coffee. Can I get a witness in the house of God? So I put the coffee on, and then I'll go into my office and I'll take my phone, and I'm following a YouVersion Bible reading plan, reading one chapter in the New Testament a day, and I'm reading it from the Amplified Bible. Then I'll take my paper Bible. I'll read the exact same chapter in a different version, except this time I'm circling and I'm writing, I'm underlining what God's saying to me and just marking up my Bible. And then I find on my phone some piano worship music, and I start playing it just lightly underneath, and I'll start praying through that chapter that I've read every day. And you know what I've learned as I'm doing that for the first time this year, then my prayer life is just, I never miss a thing. Now that's how I do it. You can do your quiet time a bunch of different ways. You don't have to do it in the morning. Some of you are better in the middle of the day or in the afternoon or in the evening, whatever. Just make sure that you take time every day to Selah. Another way that we Selah is worship. You see, when I worship, what am I doing? I'm instead of focusing on the world around me, I'm focusing on the God above me. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what worship is. I'm magnifying God. And when I actually pause and think about the Lord, all of a sudden there's hope. All of a sudden there's peace. Because I'm not looking around me, all the trouble, all the fear, all the news, all the worry. I'm not saying never look at that stuff, but I'm saying more we should be looking at Him. That's called worship. You're going to get really excited about this, that one of the ways that we can Selah is to fast. See, one of the things that happens when we fast food, we are letting our bodies Selah. We're saying, well, I'm going to change my schedule. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to refrain from food for a certain time because it's healing to our body and our spirit. We're going to pick up every month in 2020, we're fasting 3 days per month. We've never done that before, but we just feel like 2020 was a different year. I think we're all seeing that. And so next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to fast and pray as a church family. I want to encourage you to join us as we do that. And let's just believe that God's going to do great things. Another way that we Selah is church. Go to church. Don't just go to church once in a while. Make it a habit. Come to church. What are you doing? You're stopping your schedule. You're stopping the freight train of your life. Go, 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 go. And we're going to stop. We're going to go to church, and we're going to do a bunch of these things, and we're going to worship, we're going to reflect, and somebody's even going to preach about Selah. And your life's going to be different. You're going to be better. And then I think a powerful way for us to Selah is communion, which is what we're going to do right now. If you've got elements nearby, I want you to take those in your hand. Communion is also known as the Lord's Supper. And I think even as I say these words, I'm laughing at myself. I think God's pretty smart. What a profound thought. God is pretty smart. And Jesus told his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, he said, I want you to remember this until I come. And he says, I want you to do this often. You see, I think what Jesus was saying when he instituted communion is he was saying, every now and then, matter of fact, pretty often, you need to stop and Selah. Specifically, about the cross, about the sacrifice that I'm about to make. And I'm going to ask you to use bread because there's something about our muscle memory, our bodies remember. We don't just remember with our hearing, remember what we touch and taste and smell. God says, I want your all of your senses involved in this remembering right now. I want your whole self to Selah. I think that's powerful. Jesus said, I want you to eat this bread and I want you to remember this is my body broken for you. Let me pause right there. Yeah, you. You. Who's sitting right there in your truck wondering if God cares about you? Yes. Jesus said, he's broken for you. He said, I did it for you. You got to think about that. He said, this bread, this represents me and how I feel about you. He said, you need to think about that because the enemy will lie to you and tell you that you're too far gone. You made too many mistakes, that you are a failure. And there's no way God can forgive you. Jesus said, I want you to take this bread and I want you to remember that nobody is too far gone. Matter of fact, before you receive this bread, there's some people that are watching this today. Jesus is inviting you to his family. Jesus says, I want you to remember on the great sacrifice that was paid for your soul. Wherever you're at, wherever you're watching this, the Holy Spirit is tugging at the strings of your heart because he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And you know what? He proved it at the cross. Wherever you're watching, pray this simple prayer. Jesus, thank you for the cross. I agree with you. I have failed. I've sinned. And just like the psalm said, I tremble when I think about that. Thank you for the grace of God, for loving me so much. I receive your salvation of amazing grace right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's receive the bread together in thanks for what God has done for us. And Jesus took a cup and he said, this is my blood. This is the new covenant. And this is really good news because there's a whole lot of things to reflect about, to Selah about in communion. But one of the things he said that night, he says, I will not drink this cup with you again until we all gather together in the Father's house at the table in heaven to receive this cup. You know, I know a lot of us, we're looking forward, anticipating that day that we all get to come back together to church, and I am too. But I'm going to tell you what, it is nothing. It's going to be nothing compared to that day when every single one of us, all those who have already gone before us, all of your loved ones, your family members, those that have laid down their lives, amen, everybody, and we're going to gather around that table, and we're going to look back on 2020, and we say, look what God did through all of that. Look what God did in my life. Look what God did in my spirit. And I didn't understand why you did it that way, God. I don't understand why you allowed all these things to happen, but God, thank you. Because with an eternal perspective, there's hope. So Jesus said, I want you to remember, it's not always going to be like this. There will be a day where there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more memorial days. There'll be no more cemeteries. Amen, everybody. There'll be life forever in heaven with Jesus. So God, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for what it means. It represents hope. And God, we receive your hope. Let's receive it together. Amen. Let's sing this song together. Help us to Selah. We pray that you give us the courage to change our schedules, change our priorities to Selah, to pause and think about that. And God, we thank you for this season of Selah. And we pray, Lord God, that you would keep us from returning to our hurried lifestyle. And God, we pray that all of us would be better as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you're glad that you joined us online today. I thank you so much for being with us. If you feel like this is a message that somebody needs to hear, go ahead and share this on your social media platforms and just tell them what God did in your life. If it was a powerful word to you, share it with somebody. I think there are a lot of people that need to hear this. I think this is a right now word for all of us. Right now. So thank you for doing that. I just want to encourage you to join us Tuesday night for prayer. This Tuesday night, our prayer service is going to focus on high school graduates. We're going to be praying for all of the class of 2020. Pastor Graham's going to be leading us. We're going to have some special guests to help us. It's going to be great. And go ahead and mark down first Wednesday as our first live service for that everybody's welcome to come. It's going to be outside. We hope that you are part of that. So we hope you all have a great week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Selah. Go with God. Have a great week. We love you very much.